Did you see my tweet that I tweeted at you? Mm-mm. That dude's Twitter account?
No, I don't think I've been on Twitter very recently, the last few days. Did you send it to me via DM?
Yeah, I tweeted you, or I messaged you one of these guys' tweets. But if you just scroll through like his Twitter feed, you will know why I hate him.
Hey Siri, show me 18-14 with a first round NIT loss.
18-14 with a first record. Round NIT loss. Yeah, and that was like whatever. That's a hot like. But then he was like, honestly, random double strays. Like he has a there's a picture of on his of Kevin McHale swung by Creighton's practice, I guess. And Falk Brenner, they're like 7'2" kid.
Yeah, you brought this up like 6 months ago on the podcast, I think.
No, I talked about him going to see Nebraska because Hoiberg and him were together.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, McHale stopped by Creighton's practice, and he goes, one of the best big men in basketball history also pictured Kevin McHale. Get the f*** out of here, you delusional Creighton guy.
That's just a joke.
Falk Brenner's going to be a sixth-year college basketball player. I don't think he's that good.
Well, yeah, I don't think he thinks that either. That seems more like a meme or a joke, right? Like it seems like something you would say about Naz Reid.
And then, no.
Yeah, you would.
I don't think so.
Are you kidding me?
In comparison to Kevin McHale?
You wouldn't genuinely believe it. You would say something like that. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't think he means that.
No, this dude has more anti-Nebraska tweets than pro-Creighton tweets, and it just irritates me.
Yeah, that part of it I get. Yeah. Hello, and welcome to the Andrea Bargnani episode of the Hoop Theory Podcast, aka episode 106, which is in honor of him being the first overall pick in the 06 NBA draft. Recording this one on the evening of Tuesday, October 15th, in the year of our Lord 2024. My name is Logan Wertman, and as usual, I'm joined by my elusive co-host, Jacob Roth. Jacob, how does it feel to be on the Andrea Bargnani episode?
Feels good. Kind of an off-the-wall one that you're not really ready for.
Yeah.
Still processing the elusive adjective that I was blessed with this week, but yeah, interesting.
Yeah, he's one of my guys, honestly. Really wish that he would have worked out, but it's a fun fact, honestly, to look back and see that Andrea Bargnani was the first overall pick at one point in the draft.
Yeah.
So, and this is a draft that there's not really a clear best player from, I would say. Like, there's... You could probably debate a good number of guys. Like there's LaMarcus Aldridge, Kyle Lowry. I think even Rudy Gay is in this draft. I think I'm jumping around a little bit though. There's, I think, some guys still above him that were in here. But yeah, there wasn't really a clear number one guy, I would say, out of the guys there. JJ Redick was also another guy in there. Just, you know, a guy that's been a lot more gained. I feel like almost gotten more famous. I shouldn't say that. He was really famous at Duke, but he's gotten more famous post-career NBA than he was in the NBA.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
Because only with, like, when he was in like college, NBA he was like, guys knew who he was for sure. Like NBA, like not like, I feel like the casual fan didn't necessarily like immediately know who JJ Redick was, but like other mm-hmm. people did is like, oh no, that might be the best shooter, like pure shooter around. Mm-hmm. He also just kind of always is around winning. Always.
Yeah, that's true.
That was kind of his two big things until the very end. And then now obviously he's has a wagon hitch to LeBron with the podcast and now is his coach. So I feel like he's definitely exploded in terms of relevance. But maybe this is how people felt about Phil Jackson. Who knows?
How is what?
Because he was a player.
And
then when he became a coach, he became a way bigger deal than when he was a player.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I honestly don't know much about Phil Jackson as a player other than he played for the Knicks.
That's what I feel like down the road, unless you were there and remember it, maybe that's how youngins will feel about JJ Redick.
Yeah. I feel like JJ Redick probably had more chops as a player, though, like more things he could claim or you know, put his hat on. Because, like, he still has the best 3-point
percentage. Phil Jackson played for 13 years.
Oh, yeah?
67 to 80.
Yeah, did he play for more teams than just the Knicks? I'm guessing he had to.
Knicks and the Nets.
And the Nets, okay. So pretty staying in one spot. But JJ, though, he still has the best career 3-point percentage or season, something like that, in college of all time. That has yet to be broken, I believe, at least last I heard that said. So yeah, that's something that's pretty cool to hang your hat on. But I guess before we get into anything else, I'd like to first say, Jacob looks like he was about to say something, so I'll let him do that.
Not a great, but 807 total games, just shy of 7 points a game, and just shy of 4.5 boards a game. Okay. Plus an assist.
How so many minutes?
Nothing nuts.
Do you have minutes per game to go along with those numbers?
Let me find it.
Should be at the, if you're on Basketball Reference, it should be in the main table 17. At the bottom. 17 minutes a game? Okay, yeah.
17, 18-ish.
Yeah, 4.5 rebounds in 18 minutes a game.
So not great, but like...
That's pretty good.
I mean, that's it. He was in the league for 13 years, not only because of vibes, yeah, also because of on the court, production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember in The Last Dance, they called him basically like the Dennis Rodman before Dennis Rodman, in a way. Like, he was that type of a player, like a hustle energy guy. But it's, which is an interesting comparison. I would say probably he was more of like a Kurt Rambis, I'm guessing.
I would say his best season was in 1973-74. Mm. 82 games he played in.
Yeah.
25 minutes a game, 11.1 points a game, just under a block, about 2 assists, about 6 boards. Pretty solid role player stat line.
Yeah. I think the 74 Knicks were pretty decent, I want to say. They won the championship in 71, I believe. So they had to be pretty. Well, actually, no. I think they won in 70 and 74. Didn't they win in 74?
That could be correct.
The Bucks won in 71, I want to say. Yeah, the Bucks definitely won 71. Because that's the 71 Bucks, one of the best teams ever. Oscar Robertson and
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They lost to the Celtics, apparently.
Who did? The Knicks?
The Knicks did.
In 74? So they won in 70 and 73 then.
That could check out.
It could.
They lost in 5 to the Celtics after beating the Bullets when they were known as the Capital Bullets.
The Capital
in
Bullets.
In 7.
I didn't even realize
that. Anyway, this is a whole rabbit hole we didn't need to go down. Let's get the episode rolling.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Please be sure to hit us up on Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee if you would like to support us. That's patreon.com/hooptheory and buymeacoffee.com/hooptheory. All of our links can also be found in the description of both the show and the episode, wherever you're watching or listening to this. We'd also greatly appreciate it if you would rate the show on Spotify or wherever you're listening. And also leave a like or a comment. Of course, be sure to subscribe and follow the feed. And lastly, we'd also love it if you sent something into our mailbag for us to read and react to, basketball related or otherwise. You can send those over to hooptheory.mailbag@gmail.com. And now, without further ado, let's get into a little basketball topic or basketball news segment before we get to the division that we have lined up for today, which is not the Pacific Division. That's what I have in my notes because I haven't updated that word there right there. But it is the Southwest Division. So we are down to the last final division in this basketball association, you know. But before we get to that, though, the thing we want to talk about, what it is, Dante DiVincenzo in a preseason game, his return to Madison Square Garden caught fire early. He got an and one. Where he, you know, went down the lane, finished like this little teardrop, got fouled, went to the line. While he's at the line, right when he gets the ball, he starts, I think even before he gets the ball, he starts yelling something over towards the direction of the New York Knicks bench.
Can't finish, Tibbs, huh?
Yeah.
Can't finish after he had a pretty aggressive and one. Mm-hmm. That's what sparked this whole thing.
Yeah, that was the first thing he said was can't finish, right? Tibbs, and then I think after that he said, Tibbs, thanks for the trade. And then
But the thing that I've heard is apparently Rick Brunson started chirping from the bench.
Yeah.
And that's when something else kind of started to be brought. I don't know if that's when the trade was brought up or that. I don't know when happened.
Because he said, yo, Tibbs, thanks for the trade.
Okay.
And then the next thing he says is to Rick Brunson. Because I don't know what Rick Brunson said to him, but like somebody, you can hear that somebody's yelling something from the bench when you're watching.
Something back at him.
Yeah. And then he says, that's what happens when they let you run the show. And when he's saying that, he's looking at Rick Brunson. And then after he says that and then makes the free throw in like one motion as he said, after he gets done saying that. And then as he's turning to run back down the court, he says, let daddy run the show.
Oh, wow.
He said that to the bench. so yeah, obviously talking about Rick Brunson there. And then after the game, they were exchanging some words, kind of got, I don't know if you saw that, but they were Rick Brunson kind of started coming at Dante.
At the end of the game, was like trying to talk to him and then wasn't talking. We just started yelling at him.
Yeah. And then Dante kept yelling back, I was talking to Tibbs. and Jalen Brunson was kind of getting in between them. For obviously, if people can't put two and two together, Rick Brunson is Jalen Brunson's father. And the assistant coach of the Knicks.
And then DiVincenzo is friends with Jalen Brunson. I'm assuming they're still buddies.
Yeah.
So that was like maybe like the best person to cool things between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm excited for the first game that actually matters between those two. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. No, for sure. But I'm not sure what Rick Brunson, I guess, had to do with the trade, but he must have had something, it seems like. And as we've noted on this show before, we've reported on this show that Jalen Brunson's godfather is Leon Rose, the GM, the front office executive of the Knicks, guy who's calling all the shots, making trades, you know? And so if he's Jalen's godfather...
Inciting people for insanely undervalued contracts.
Yeah. But if he's Jalen's godfather, that must mean that him and Rick Brunson are probably very close. And so then there, you know, it doesn't take much assuming to make the next step of, you know, to see like, I guess he might have had input to Leon Rose, his close friend, about Dante and about the trade, you know, to get Kat. Because from the sounds of it, before this happened, what I had heard was that the Knicks had for a while, they were trying to shop Randall and Mitchell Robinson to the Timberwolves.
Oh.
And the Timberwolves just kept saying no.
Which for the vibes of the Nova Knicks makes way more sense and also makes way less sense for the T-Wolves, and that's probably why we didn't see that trade.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but then finally, you mean this center depth problem we already have? Let's exacerbate that. We would love to do that.
Yeah. But then finally, I think somebody, and this could have just been a ploy by the Timberwolves to like, they got another executive from another front office to like fake act like they were interested in Kat or something, you know, to spread rumors like some other team was interested in Kat, which then probed the Knicks to, you know, commit and put Dante into the deal to make the deal happen. And you could imagine maybe Rick Brunson was one of the voices, one of the louder voices, you know, urging Leon Rose to go that route, perhaps, you know.
Maybe.
I don't know why else he would blame Rick Brunson or insinuate that he is running the show. What does that, you know, what does that mean?
Yeah, unless, like, Rick Brunson just should have just not spoken and DiVincenzo was just mad at everyone. So then, because Tibbs didn't give him any kind of vocal notice at all.
Not from like, what I know of, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, Dante's saying that Rick Brunson was running the show. I'm speculating on what that could mean, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's just saying, I think that means something. I don't think he's just...
To people that know.
Yeah. I doubt he's just like saying that as just a vague insult. Like, I don't know why he would say it like that, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just me. That just got my brain kind of running, working, thinking about what that could mean. But yeah, very interesting though. I like how Dante is just a fiery guy that wants all the smoke, you know?
And I love it. Mm-hmm. I think he has moved up on my guys leaderboard.
Also,
near the top.
To be talking trash, like, while shooting, to me, that's just, like, I could never do that. Like, my brain would be so panicky and so, like, you know, have so much anxiety of, like, me, if I'm like, telling somebody off or, like, saying something to somebody, like, as I'm going up for a free throw, my brain would be, like, do not miss, do not miss. Like, I would be panicking about that so much, you know? But he just, like, you know, it didn't affect him at all.
So, does that mean that Dante DiVincenzo was Michael Jordan? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Because that's like a Michael Jordan thing to do.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
Or like a Kobe thing to do.
Dante's not the only athlete to ever do that, but just...
What if we see him, like, step up, and he turns into something way crazier than we think?
Yeah, maybe.
What if he ends up the best player in that trade?
That would be kind of crazy. I mean, how old is he? He's like 26 now, right?
Hey, there's still a couple years.
I don't
but imagine. What, also, there's a world he turns into just a nightmare, but exclusively when he is playing the Knicks.
I think that is definitely going to
like
be.
He's like, oh, I scored 50 points in the Garden 3 times as a T-Wolf. just like fury.
He's 27. So I.
Yeah, probably not going to see a crazy career explosion.
Probably not, but I think he could probably be a. I don't think it's crazy from here on out if he did end up being the best of those three players. Like, I don't think that's impossible. I would bet on Cat for sure, but...
Yeah, because Cat's got a pretty firm lead, I would say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, but...
And Cat also doesn't have to try to, like, gain on himself while sharing touches with Ant. Like, in terms of, like...
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
So that... Anyway, that was a stupid, dumb point, but it just... It's just an interest. Like, I'm excited. This has made T-Wolves Knicks must view, knowing that there is not good relations. Uh-huh. I assumed it was kind of like, oh, this is sad. And it was kind of reported that, like, DiVincenzo kind of was not happy with what he was getting.
That's what
But then apparently he was way more mad about getting sent to a different situation where he might get more playing time. I don't know.
He might.
I don't
but
know.
But I'm much
might,
more.
It's might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at least the spot he would be fighting for, like he would be in the contention in a position battle for in New York would be at his actual position, like the two.
Mm-hmm.
But in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
It would be...
Minneapolis.
It would be, if he did get put in there, it would be either at the point guard or be moving Anthony Edwards to the point guard, you know? Because Mike Conley would be the guy that he would be fighting for the starting spot with.
Yeah.
Which doesn't feel as good, you know? It feels better to put him in there alongside Jalen Brunson over a Josh Hart, you know, rather than what the situation he's in now, over a Mike Conley... where you're going to have to move either him or Anthony Edwards out of position. So,
yeah.
But it could work. I'm sure that's going to be a lineup we see a decent amount. I would be surprised if we don't see a backcourt of Ant and DiVincenzo together as the two guys. But, yeah, that's just a fun thing we thought we would cover really quick before we get to...
Didn't want to space it before the season kicked off.
Yeah. That was probably the most dramatic thing that's happened in a preseason game in a while, I would guess.
Ever?
Ever?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, man.
But yeah, now on to the first team in our Southwest Division, if you're ready to hop into that. That is the Dallas Mavericks. So the team that went all the way to the finals, the NBA finals this past season, and got kind of destroyed. For the most part, other than one game where they did the destroying.
Aggressively destroying.
Yeah. And so they have a line of 50.5 this season, which is right where they were at last year at 50-32. Their line heading into last season was 44.5. And we have them ranked at 5th in our power rankings for this upcoming season. So, Yeah, 50.5 is going to be a pretty good line, I think. Obviously, they added Klay Thompson. Is probably the biggest name, not even probably, definitely the biggest name they added, and probably the biggest, best player, the biggest value add, other than maybe Najee Marshall. I feel like he could have a kind of role explosion here in Dallas. Quentin Grimes is another good addition that I liked personally. And one that slipped past me is Spencer Dinwiddie. I didn't realize they got Spencer Dinwiddie back. So one of the guys they traded to get Kyrie is back on their team now. signed with them in the offseason, it looks like, for a veteran's minimum.
Where was he at?
Well, he was in Brooklyn, because that's where they sent him in the Kyrie trade, and he got bought out in Brooklyn and signed with the Lakers, and was with them.
Oh, the Lakers.
Yeah. And then that was just for the remainder of last season, so he was a free agent and signed a veteran's minimum here in Dallas now. So I think that's a pretty good pickup, honestly. They still have Markieff Morris, it looks like, also. Kessler Edwards is on a two-way.
Yep.
Wow, I thought he was beyond a two-way at this point, but okay, I guess not. I mean, he was not a two-way before. He was a full-time roster player before, and I thought he performed pretty well with the Nets, but and the Kings, honestly. Isn't that where he went after that? Or am I confusing that with my 2K reality?
That's a prevalent issue a lot of the time.
The Kings. Yes, he did go to the Kings in real life. That was a thing that happened. But yeah, I kind of liked him with the Nets, at least. Anyways, so that's a good add, I think. And then as far as their bigs, they've got Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively, probably going to be a bit of a position battle. I think Gafford is going to be the starter at the beginning of the season. But I would not be surprised if very far into the season we see Lively overtake that spot.
But I feel like whoever starts, it'll be more of a formality. I feel like both of them play like 23 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see
pretty,
that.
They'll be pretty even. And honestly, those two, more than like them picking up Klay and all this other stuff, is why I like feel good about them. Because they didn't figure out these two guys until like a month before the playoffs started. Like, they didn't, like, really start to fully utilize them in the way that I feel like was the best until very late in the season.
Yeah, well, for one of those guys, it was, you know, Daniel Gafford, they acquired him at the deadline is when that happened. And then Derek Lively, he started off the season really, really well, like one of the best rookies early, but then was injured for a long time and came back really late season. So he got reincorporated after they had got Daniel Gafford into the fold. Like what we saw from them late in the season was a pretty deadly unit of having like, they could just like
fresh legs.
Yeah. They could just go full bore for like 4 minutes and then get swapped out for the other one. Just have this like dual, you know, centers kind of trading off back and forth tag team. I'd say the big thing they lost that I was very surprised with how easily they just let go was Derek Jones Jr. Who is like their most important defensive player, probably, that wasn't a big man. So yeah, not even probably at that point. As far as their wings were going, like he was the defensive stopper on the perimeter.
No, because in all likelihood, you're gonna be taking on the Celtics or a team that is built Celtics-esque coming out of the East. Who picks up your Jaylen Brown or your Jason Tatum? Who picks up your Brunson's a little different, but like who picks up your Paul George? Who's covering Paul George on this team for a finals matchup?
Probably Najee Marshall or PJ Washington, I would guess.
But that's like not Derek Jones Jr. I'm fine and happy. Yeah. I prefer that Derek Jones Jr. just does that.
Yeah, no, for sure.
They just don't have, and I feel like that's like a big problem. Mm-hmm. Like that was, I mean, Klay of old, sure.
Yeah.
But this is not Klay of old.
No.
This is Klay that is old. There's a big difference. And I don't know. I still feel good about him. I still think I take the over because I'm like, if both those centers can stay healthy, I just love how those two kind of like were able to play simultaneously. And like you said, you just get a full fresh legs, full bore center, and they're both athletic. They both make it hard to get into the rim. And then when they start to like get a little slow, just swap them out. One gets into foul trouble, swap them out. Just having two guys that are, I mean, they're not like the top of the NBA, but they're very good at what they do.
Yeah, they're like good starting centers, both of them.
To have two of those that you can almost interchangeably with no hesitation. And then like, if we have to, I guess we can throw in Dwight Powell. That was kind of a joke.
I mean, but he's like, there as a third or fourth string guy. I would prefer Kleba probably as their...
Yeah, but I wonder if Kleba will play a lot more of the four for the spacing. I don't know.
Well, he will. He will, but when they do need somebody to play five other than those two, he would slide down, and I would say somebody like Najee Marshall getting more minutes in there at the four spot or something like that.
Other thing to note is it sounds like they won't have Dante Exum for a bit.
Oh, really?
I believe he has an injury that is going to be keeping him out for
that is unfortunate.
Early parts of it. Because he's turned into a very, very, like, oh, he can't shoot threes, so he left and then came back. He's like, I actually, like, kind of really can now.
Yeah. No, for sure. And just, yeah, he came back, like, he realized his role, you know, early on. It was like, came into the league.
If Ben Simmons was humble.
Yeah, honestly. It's a pretty good way to put it.
In more ways than one, like Australian, kind of that weird big point guard thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's going to be missing 3 months as of 6 days ago.
Okay, wow. That's a pretty big
hit. That'll put him in probably all, like, at depending on how he's feeling, just like post All-Star break-ish time frame.
That's a nice add that they were able to get Spencer Dinwiddie then to supplement that.
To help out with that, yep.
Yeah, and I would guess Jaden Hardy's going to have at least a bit of a role increase this year. He doesn't give you the same thing that Dante Exum gives you at all, but he plays the same position.
It's just the episode of the Dantes. Dante's Inferno.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't even think about
honestly,
that.
Honestly, a backcourt of Dante Exum and Dante DiVincenzo. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, that would be a fire second unit backcourt, honestly.
Like Dante's Inferno, fire. I was assuming you were making that pun.
Oh, no, but that works very well as a pun, honestly. I congratulate my subconscious for pulling that one.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, so for Dallas, though, you said you're going over on 50.5.
I think I'm going to go over on 50.5. The only thing that makes me feel really weird about it is that's the same line that the Nuggets and the Bucks and the Sixers, all of them have that line, and I don't feel like the Mavericks are not all of those, but like the Nuggets and this Mavericks having the same line feels wrong to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But you did lock the over on the Nuggets.
I guess, yeah. So there's the difference. I'm just going to do with a regular over because I do think that they are going to be one. They've gotten there. They know what it's like. They can do a lot of stuff. If they can even like be 60% of that, like crazy hot, like playoff team that got them to the finals, that'll be a tough out for any team. It just kind of fizzled as they ran into the eventual NBA champion Boston Celtics. So yeah, I think I feel good about them. I didn't think I was when I was sitting down to like looking at all the names of the teams, but I think the Klay thing is almost not negligible. I don't think it does a ton for them, which maybe that's like the hottest take I have about the Mavericks is
it doesn't do anything. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, you lost Derrick Jones Jr. Like, yeah, you get a little bit of offensive consistency, but you lose like a lot of defensive consistency. And unless you're going to play like really you did,
consistency is not a word I would ever use to describe Klay Thompson.
That's very true.
Yeah,
but and then like three-pointing consistency, maybe like just because he'll get a lot of catch. No, he'll just get...
Yeah, he'll probably be more consistent in this role. Yeah, a little bit more...
I'm really trying to make it not as... I think it's just not good.
Well, don't get me wrong. He's a very good shooter, but he's one of the streakiest shooters to ever live, you know?
Yeah.
The highs... There's way more highs than there are lows, but it still is very peaks and valleys.
Yeah, you know? And I feel like the Klay being added does... Unless they're going to play defense like they did in the playoffs all year, where they were like... Oh, wow. They're like a super good defensive team because like Kyrie's trying on defense.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. And this is just regular season win totals. I just don't think it makes them maybe it makes them like a better playoff team slightly, but I really don't. I don't feel, I don't think they did. They just did a lot of moving their hands to be in the exact same place.
And
everyone around them moved hands and got better or got worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I would agree. I think that they're not really much better than they were last year. But like, they're still going to be a good team. So 15 and a half, I think, is still very attainable. But I think I am going to lean the slight under on it. This is definitely a stay away, though, candidate for me. And I honestly, just like last division, I have not, like, I did not, like, choose a stay away as I went through and prepared my notes, you know? I just kind of gave my pick on each of them. So I don't have a lock or a stay away decided yet. So I might circle back and put my stay away on the Mavericks if I do feel so inclined later on. But as of right now, I'm going to just put the under on them. And without further ado, I guess we can move on to the next team in the great state of Texas, which is Houston. Houston Rockets. You're making a face. I don't know if you were reacting to me calling Houston, Texas, a great state, maybe.
No,
or
I can't do math correctly, and I was confused why we were at Houston. Not math. I did not do the alphabetical correct in my brain. And then I quickly was like, yes, H is the next letter in the alphabet. I'm a silly goose.
So down in H-Town, a couple hours to the southeast. So, yeah, the Houston Rockets, their line is 42.5, which is a pretty good line, honestly. If I don't, because, I mean, they were just under that last year. They were perfectly 500, 41-41. Which made them somehow the 11th seed in this Western Conference last year. They missed the playoffs, play-in with a 500 record. It's just a testament to how good the West was last year. But yeah, so this year and entering last season, this is a key detail, their line was 31.5. So they kind of obliterated their line by getting 9 more wins than they needed. Quick math, but we have them ranked at 19th in our HT power rank.
That feels low. There's just too many good teams. Yeah. There's just a lot of good teams. So for them to be at 19 feels wrong because I feel good about them. But there's just a lot of good basketball teams.
The teams directly above them, we have the Warriors, Kings, Lakers, Pelicans. And then right below them, there's the Clippers, the Hawks, the Spurs, the Hornets.
Honestly, I feel like I could put them above the Warriors.
You could. Yeah,
I wouldn't mind. In my brain, I'm just trying to think like...
I don't feel strongly about Warriors over Rockets, that's for sure.
I feel like Lakers is probably my ceiling. I don't know if I'm ready to say they'll be better than the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
With any kind of confidence. Not just like you can move them for the sake of moving them, but... This whole division feels like it's just going to be a bunch of risers. Outside of the Mavericks, all the other teams were like not great, and they're all just going to be going in the correct direction, I would wager, unless I'm messing up a team.
One of the teams in there, I feel like that was a tad bit shady to throw them in there. But
the Pelicans?
No. The Grizzlies?
Well, compared to last year.
Well, yeah, the record will be better, but you said something. Didn't you say that are not great or something like that? Like
last all these year other they teams weren't.
Are. Yeah, last season they weren't, but that's.
Yeah, that's.
We all know why, though, right?
Yeah, because they were the most injured team in the history of ever.
Yeah.
But compared to last year, they were not great, and they will be very good this year.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
That's the thing that I was making. But anyway, we are on the.
Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
So 42.5. I guess I'll look at the roster first before I lock in any picks. It looks like they've got the similar roster to last year. Steven Adams is a guy that is going to be a new player to them, though. Even though, I mean, they've had him for a little while now because they got him last year in midseason during a trade, but he was injured all of last season. So theoretically, he should be back. I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything on that, but I'm guessing he's probably back. They've got Reed Sheppard, who I thought should have been the number one pick in the draft this year. And he looked insanely good in the summer league, maybe in the preseason too. As we established a couple episodes ago, I don't pay attention to the preseason, so I wouldn't know. But he looks like a best shooter in the league potential type of guy.
Yes.
In Reed Sheppard and somehow
kind of like
also
sneaky athlete. Like, yeah. Extremely sneaky athlete. It's wild.
Yeah. Like, looks like he basically is like the Christian Brown type of like sneaky athleticism. And then they've also got just a lot of good players on this team. You know, Jabari Smith Jr. And not even to mention like their best players in Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green, Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, Amen Thompson. They've got old man, Uncle Jeff Green, Jock Landale, Jayshon Tate, Aaron Holiday is on this team, Tari Eason, Cam Whitmore, Jack McVay.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're forgetting the most important Rocket, honestly.
I didn't realize that he was like for sure on the roster, but he's on a two-way, it looks like. That's kind of...
Yep. He signed a two-way after the Olympics.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe for it's an E10.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought I remember him signing a 10-day, but he's on a two-way, actually. So that means he's on the roster going into the year, which is a pretty big development. Good for him.
Nebraska ball legend.
Mm-hmm.
For those that have
also
no idea who that is.
Australian native. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shot the lights out in the Olympics, at least in the game against Serbia.
Did really solid against the U.S. also. Played good defense. I think that was another thing he... Not great defense, but better defense than he did when he left Nebraska.
Yeah. I don't remember the U.S. playing Australia in the... was that before?
It was the exhibition thing. The
exhibitions? Yeah. Okay.
I'm pretty sure they played Australia.
Yeah, I think they did in the exhibitions now that you say that. I just was thinking of the actual games in the Olympics.
Oh, I also might have just had a dream.
I think they did. I think that was one of the first ones.
Yep, they did. 98-92.
Yeah. Oh, so it was a pretty close one also. But yeah, it looks like somehow AJ Griffin is in their dead money. I don't know how that works because he got waived by the, or he didn't get his option picked up by Atlanta. So I don't know how has anything to do with Houston. I don't know if maybe he was on their training camp roster or something like that, but yeah, he's retired at the age of 23. but anyways, yeah, this Rockets team, I think they're going to be really good, honestly, as like a good young team that is going to be pushing for a play-in spot, maybe even a six seed. Who knows at, you know, what they could accomplish this year. But Ime Udoka, I think, is going to be a really good head coach once again for this team. I'm excited to see where Amen Thompson's development goes, with especially playing alongside Şengün, because
he was the injured one, or was Asar the injured one?
I think they both got injured at least a little bit, but Asar was the one that got...
Asar was the more injured one?
Was the one, yeah, he was shut down for the rest of the season at one point, I think. But Amen, because, yeah, I'm pretty sure Amen's whole stretch, like where he was lighting it up, like playing really well, was the last stretch of the season when Asar would have been injured.
Out.
On a different team, but yes. Yeah, with the Pistons. But Amen, where he really got his shine was after Şengün went down and they completely changed up their style of play, where it was like they didn't have as many bigs to go to because Jock Landale and Jeff Green were really like their only bigs at that point. And so they basically were using Amen Thompson as a center, essentially, like at least as a pick and roll man. Like he was the roll guy cutting into open space, getting lobs from Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green and everybody. Which was a very interesting way to play. Oh. And they were a really fast paced team, pretty different than how they were playing with Şengün, but they were also really good with Şengün as well. So, and Şengün had a heck of a season, was like I think should have been an all-star, honestly, last year.
It's just hard in the West last year to find all-stars.
Mm-hmm.
Like to find those spots.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had a pretty strong opinion on who he should have been in there over, but I don't remember off the top of my head who that was. But I think I did have a feeling or had a person I could point to instead of being like a Reggie Miller or somebody like that, you know, who's just like says
Jamal Murray, or was it Aaron Gordon yeah. and Jamal Murray should both be all-stars.
He said Jamal Murray needs to be an all-star. I'm not going to say who he's in there over, but I just think that it's ridiculous he's not an all-star, you know. So trust me, there was somebody that I could give you, but I don't remember who.
This team's going to end up the 4 seed.
All right. is that Jacob's hot take for the Houston Rockets? I'm surprised, like, you're coming in that hot with it. I thought.
Oh no, I'm just like looking at the names and I'm like, I feel great about all of this. Like the only thing I don't feel great about is the presence of Dylan Brooks.
Why is that?
Just in principle, just Dylan Brooks. I think he's
helpful to this team. I think he's really good for this team.
But it's just more the. It just feels weird to be like, yeah, Dylan Brooks will, like, his team's going to do really well, and he's going to be a big part of that.
That's been the majority of his career.
But he wasn't always a big part of it.
Yeah, he was. Every time he's been on a good team. Every good team he's been a part of, he's been a starter and a big part of them being good. Yeah,
that's my hot take. I'm going to lock the over.
He's just ignoring me.
Yeah. No, I'm understanding what you're saying, and my brain just doesn't. Dylan Brooks is nothing to me in my brain.
Yeah, he's not one of my guys. I would.
He's the opposite of one of my guys. Not like quite Steve Kerr, corner of shame bad, but he's definitely not one of my guys.
Yeah, no.
I think I'm going to lock the over, and I'm going to think that this team is going to like bust up the like rock solid top five that we are envisioning in the West. Probably at the expense of the Mavericks, and I'm going to swap that to an under now that I'm looking at this. Or maybe that becomes my stay away.
Are you? You want to keep thinking on that, or you don't?
I'm thinking out loud, but I'm just thinking.
That's right.
Mavs got Luka. Nobody on this team can hold a candle to Luka, though.
Yeah, not at all.
But Steven Adams is one of my guys. Jeff Green is one of my guys. I love Reed Shepard. Şengün, mm-hmm. obviously. They've got mm-hmm. the basketballer. This is like. Honestly, a big, like, do not listen to Jacob. He's definitely wrong. Because it's just a vibes to the 10 out of 10 meter. It's to the top.
Yeah. No, for sure. I really like this team. I think I'm going to go over on them, honestly. Not going to lock it, I don't think. But I am going to lean the over. I do think that things will work. A lot of people are skeptical about things working as well as they did down the stretch of the season with Jalen Green and Amen Thompson, with how Shane would, you know, it seemed like they really stepped up and were able to produce the way they were after Şengün was out. And so some people think that when Şengün comes back, they will revert back to struggling, or not, you know, producing at as high of a level. I kind of feel like that it will still work. Honestly, I think that their role increase, like especially Jalen Green's, wasn't really, you know, didn't really have anything to do with Şengün's absence to me. I think that it was just a coincidence that those things started to trend that way at the same time. Because for those who, you know, don't remember, there was like a good 4 or 5 game stretch before Şengün got hurt where their win streak and where they're like, when the Rockets really went on, started going on a tear, that started several games before Şengün went down, you know? So it looked like it was already trending that way before he went out. As far as Amen Thompson, though, obviously he took advantage of the void enroll opportunity. So that's different. But
which, what else are you supposed to do?
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously he probably won't be quite the same impact that he was in that stretch going into this season. But I think he can, there's things to take away from that experience that he had, having more of a free reign situation, now coming into the situation where he's playing off of Şengün more and playing more of a different position. Because I think Şengün, to me, in theory, Şengün and a guy like Amen Thompson are like kind of a perfect match for each other. Like a super athletic
Jokic
guy.
Jokic and a tall Murray.
Exactly. Or not Murray. Like in terms but like
of, not in what they do, but in terms of how you can do the pick and roll together.
Yeah, I was about to say like a Bruce Brown. Like a Jokic and Bruce Brown, or a Jokic and Aaron Gordon.
It's not like I should have just thought, like, who are other guys that Jokic have had that literally do what Thompson does?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The duo you just always think of is Jokic-Murray, but
and Murray.
Mm-hmm. There's proven examples of Jokic doing it with other people. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a chance that, obviously, Şengün won't be as good as Jokic, but Thompson might be the better of all of those examples. Those
guys. Yeah, honestly. Very, very well could be. I think Jalen Green is more of the Jamal Murray.
The Murray in that case. Şengün.
Yeah. Which they, I think them getting better as a two-man game is also something to watch. I really like the Rockets, honestly. They're one of my favorite young teams, and they do resemble the Nuggets, weirdly, in some ways, because of that Şengün.
I think in a lot of ways. Like, yeah. If the day they, like, were fully leaning into this young core, it's just Nuggets 2 Electric Boogaloo. Like, it's pretty uh-huh. comparable. Obviously, it's not to the same level, I don't think, because
they've got a lot deeper of a team than the Nuggets had at this point, like in their development,
in the developmental stages. That's fair as well.
Fred VanVleet or somebody like that to have around.
Steven Adams, Dylan Brooks. There wasn't those types of guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jabari Smith Jr. might be he's not really like Michael Porter Jr., but he's the same size as Michael and wears the same jersey, or used to wear the same jersey number. I think he changed his number to 10 now.
He's also a guy that quietly everybody's like, oh, he's bust. Quietly has kind of turned into a pretty solid basketball player.
His rookie year was not awesome, but then started to look better towards the end of it. And then in the summer league after his rookie season looked like an animal. And that was shown to be more of the case in his second year where he,
I think Ime has strides. Been a big part of that. Mm-hmm. Like being like, let's get your defense figured out. You've got natural offensive talent in your bones.
Mm-hmm.
Let's work on defense and the offense will come. It's quietly becoming like a very like, oh, this is a dark threat looming on the horizon in Houston.
Yeah,
and it's not one guy like it was when Harden was there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everyone is a problem almost.
Yeah, I love this Rockets team, honestly. So I think we've gushed enough about them.
Yeah,
we're good. Both going over on them.
I'm locking it.
You're locking it. And what did you decide with you're leaving Mavericks alone for now?
I'll leave them alone for now, but I think I'm probably going to swap them to an under because I think the losses have to come from somewhere. And maybe mm-hmm. it's the Mavericks.
Yeah. No, for
sure. Probably not, but maybe. I'll be wrong on it. I don't care.
And then on to the Memphis Grizzlies, which their line this season is 47.5, which has slowly been climbing, I think, weeks ago.
Because it was like disgustingly low at like 30-something.
I don't think it was ever that low, but it was like maybe 43.5, 44.5 before. Something like that.
It's climbing to where it should be.
Yeah, no, for sure. Their record last year was 27-55, but for reasons as we discussed a little bit ago, they are that is not representative of the team that they are. The past 2 years before that, they were 50-plus win teams and were the 2 seed both of those years in the Western Conference. So it would make sense that now that they have all of the guys that were big, like the main parts of that, other than Steven Adams is really the only guy.
But they've found a potential replacement.
Yeah, they found a potential replacement for. And then Dylan Brooks was another guy that played a pretty big role on that team, but now they have a replacement of him as well with Marcus Smart. So going into a season with like...
A new father, Marcus Smart. He's now a father.
Oh, really? He had his first kid? Or
yep, I do still closely follow Marcus Smart.
Nice.
And everything about him. Nice. Because
congrats to Marcus Smart.
Congrats to Marcus Smart.
Yeah. And so I think this will be a pretty good team this season. Their line last year, heading into the year, that when they won 27-55, they had a line of 45.5.
Which that was a really like good line after the fact, consider because we knew Ja was out for a while.
25 games.
Didn't realize how long it would be after the fact.
Yeah. Because he came back for 9 games and tore his labrum. And was out the rest of the season. But we knew he was going to be out for the first 25, and we knew Marcus Smart and Derrick Rose were probably going to be the guys handling point guard there.
And then both of them got hurt?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I know Marcus Smart was hurt for a little bit.
Have you ever gone to the Memphis Grizzlies last year's season stats and scrolled? It is comically long.
Yeah, no. We've talked about this multiple times on the podcast.
I know, but I just didn't realize how, like you knew a lot of people played, but until you, like, quantified and, like, oh, all of the players that played don't fit on my screen.
Yeah, no, I've definitely done that before. That's where I went to find the number before when I said
when you counted how many different people had played.
Yeah, so they had 33 last season, looks like, which I think that is the record for the most players who were on a NBA roster in the same season. They had 33 separate players, which is literally double the number of players that are allowed on a full roster.
Yeah.
They had two rosters last season worth of players, which is just absolutely insane. I think that they're going to have much better luck this season. There's just no way.
It'd be almost impossible not to.
Yeah. Historically, Desmond Bain and Desmond Bain has been a very, very healthy player. Last season was the only season he had like a super major injury. And he played 42 games last year. I think he played all 82 in at least one of his seasons so far, maybe even multiple of the seasons he's played. I guess I can look at that. Oh, never mind. He played 76 in his most played season. But still, I think that this team is going to be really good. I think Desmond Bane is going to be a really good player this season. Might be a borderline all-star. I think the big thing that hurts them is Gigi Jackson being out for a certain amount of time. I don't know how long for sure, but he had a pretty major injury. I don't remember what it was off the top of my head.
A month ago, he underwent a successful procedure to repair a broken fifth metatarsal in his right foot. It will be evaluated in approximately 3 months. That doesn't mean he'll be back in 3 months. It means he will be evaluated in 3 months.
A fifth metatarsal. Is that your pinky toe? Because I broke my second metatarsal. And I think that was like the toe next to my big toe, I thought.
The fifth? Oh, it's a Jones fracture. Why didn't we just call it that?
Is that what a Jones fracture is? Is your pinky toe?
It's on different parts of the... But that it is the pinky toe. The Jones fracture is closer to the middle of your foot.
Mm.
And it does. I didn't see a specific where on the fifth metatarsal it was broken.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense. But yeah, so he's going to be out for at least a little bit at the start of the year. And he made a pretty big development in his time with the Grizzlies so far. But yeah, I think I'm going to go over on this line of 47.5. I don't know if I'm going to lock it, but I definitely could see them be, they could be like the 2 seed. Like, I don't see any reason why they couldn't be. They've got a very, very good team. They've got all their guys coming back. And I suspect that Ja Morant is, he's, how old is he? Like 25 now, probably 24.
Yeah, something. He is 25.
25, yeah. So I don't think he's going to have much of a decline in athleticism or anything. Obviously, he's been not playing.
And he's also, the injuries he's had or had is not like an explosiveness injury.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Except for explosiveness in your shoulder, maybe. But your shoulders don't help you jump. You did not know. And that's what Ja Morant does better than almost anybody alive.
That's for sure. Also, just... sprinting up and down the court with the ball in his hands, I think is still going to be very effective at that. And even with all that athleticism, he's also a very quick decision maker, can also like control his pace pretty well, play slow, make good decisions in the pick and roll, set up his teammates, all that kind of stuff. He's a clutch player as well. I really like Ja Morant. I think that he's going to make a comeback. And I'm going to go over on 47.5 wins for the Memphis Grizzlies.
See, I hate that. I'm going to do that too. So I'm just going to do a stay away.
Okay. Okay. We'll do stay away for you, Jacob, then. And then I don't think I mentioned that they are 10th in our power rank. I mentioned that last episode or a couple episodes ago when it came up, but they are 10th for us right now. And I think they could be swapped. I felt like I used the tiebreaker with them and some teams in their zone as like Memphis, you know, they had a year off and they were really bad last year. So I just kind of gave the other teams a tiebreaker, you know, type thing. But I think they definitely could be better than the Suns or the Wolves, you know.
There's like there's so many things that make you think like this team will be really good. But then their only question is we kind of have to see it like now as opposed to like previously.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that year off, like you said. So
yeah. No, for sure.
After the Cat trade, I think I probably feel better about putting them above the T-Wolves.
Probably. No, for sure. Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Better. Like, I think I probably would. Anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, Jaren Jackson Jr., I think, is another guy that is going to be a lot better this year. He had to have a really weird role that he is not used to or built for last season with the amount of, like, creation duties that was given to him. He was the guy that I think played the most out of all of their like best players, you know, like he was the least injured. He played 66 games last year.
That's like a regular season.
Yeah.
For a lot of guys. I mean, that's awards eligible.
Yeah, exactly. But he was basically being used as he became almost more like a Bam Adebayo where he was like a ball handler, which has never been part of his real like skill set. You know, he's much more of a, you know, off the ball type of offensive player as like a stretch five, stretch four, pick and roll creator, not creator, but, you know, screener, roller, popper, that type of thing, setting screens off ball, everything like that, cutting. But yeah, he had to create a lot more with the ball in his hands, which was an interesting experiment. And maybe there's some things that he can learn and take from that situation that can improve his game currently. But I think he's going to be a lot more comfortable adjusting and sliding back into the role that he's more used to.
That he's better at.
Yeah, that he's a lot better at and a lot better than most people in the NBA at, you know?
The reason he stole a defensive player of the year from the Frenchman ended the reign of the French doing a service to us all.
Yeah, which I don't even think Rudy Gobert was a top three finisher that year, actually. But Brooke Lopez was the I think runner up.
Second place. Yeah. But the French will rise again as we'll talk about the other looming French scourge on defensive player of the year ballots in a couple of teams. I don't know why I've just decided to like become an enemy of France just randomly.
It seems like you're talking them up. Just now.
They're a scourge though. I feel like
what
that's
is a scourge. I guess I don't even know what that means.
A scourge is like a bad, it's like a scar. It's a plague on the land. Of French defensive players of the year.
Okay, interesting. But yeah, I don't think that's a bad take, bad corner to take, just anti-France as an American. I think that's a pretty respectable stance.
They did come up big in 1776, though. That was kind of big.
Yeah.
But.
And yeah, that's true.
Also kind of sort of softly invented the tank, military-wise. Really? Yeah, they just would take like steel plating and put it on tractors and then drive. And then Germany really hit the gas pedal on tank
evolution. I was gonna say I think of Germany when I think of tanks, but like the Panzer, wasn't that a German?
Yeah, that's World War II. Like World War I. I'm pretty sure it was I think it was France would like
the farmers would do that or what?
Yeah, they would the military essentially just took tractors and then
an arm
kind of like the Killdozer. Have you ever heard of that?
Martin Heemeyer. But I can imagine what that would kind of be like.
Yeah. Maybe it's the British. I don't know. there's a timer.
Oh, nice. You're using a timer. I didn't think you were.
I was.
It was as loud as it was before?
I got that fixed.
Oh, nice.
There's a nifty little volume knob that I made. Quieter.
But yeah, so that will do it on the Grizzlies. I'm going over. Jacob's going on a stay away for them. The Pelicans is the next team. in the Southwest Division, which is not a very Southwest city at all. New Orleans.
One could wager that you call it the Southeast.
Yeah, same with Memphis, honestly, or just the South. They're just kind of the South, mm-hmm. to be honest. But they are in this division because of how funky the major cities in the U.S. are distributed. But they have a line of 46.5 wins this upcoming season. 49-33 is what their record was last year. Heading into the last year, also, they had a line of 44.5 wins. And they are 15th in our power rankings, which feels a little low, to be honest. But
the top is just so loaded.
Yeah, and Brandon Ingram is a big question mark. Yeah, going into a contract year, and he does not seem happy. And he really just crapped the bed in the playoffs last year. But I also feel like people are forgetting too easily the last time he was in the playoffs with the Pelicans, where he was the opposite of that. He was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just kind of seen, you know, the yin and yang from him, basically. So who knows which one will show up in this NBA season. Zion is looking trimmed and like as healthy as ever.
Scary.
This team is, I think, even more equipped or more built to run around him than they were before, which I think is a good move, especially if he is going to be staying more healthy, which he's coming off of the most healthy season of his career by far. He played 70 games last year, which still feels nuts. Feels like that's not even like possible, but he did. I feel like, he's just going to have probably the best season of his career this year is what I would predict. And DeJounte Murray is going to be their starting point guard. And seems like CJ McCollum is very, very accepting of the bench role from mm-hmm. what he has said in media day. He's almost like excited for it, seems like. And he seems like the classic type of guy that would excel as a sixth man. CJ McCollum, he's kind of like that exact type of player or breed. I think Trey Murphy the third is a guy that is a big person to watch that I feel like is going to be a difference maker and take a pretty big step as a shooter. Well, not as a shooter, but he is a shooter. Going to continue to be a very, very good shooter at the height of 6'9", and he's super athletic. Yeah, that's crazy. Also,
yeah,
he's just a very versatile guy that him and the fact that they have him and Herb Jones is just also crazy.
Because Herb Jones is just that, but with insane McGee defense.
Yeah. Much more of a versatile defender and a lot less of a shooter.
Yeah.
You know, but still, both of those guys as a defensive tandem, it's a really valuable couple of guys to roll out next year's stars. The only thing that is tough right now is their big spot. They've got Daniel Tice as the potential starting center for this team, which, Jacob winced for the people at home who don't have the video version.
Yeah.
And the other potential starter is Eve Misi, who is their first-round draft pick in this year's draft from out of Belgium, who does seem like he could be a really good NBA player. Maybe he'll be the Derek Lively from last season, potentially, but that's a lot to ask for, honestly. That doesn't happen every day or every year, you know, but he does seem like a guy that could, cause he seems like a guy that honestly could possibly be stretching the floor, at the center spot, as well as being a lob threat. It's a pretty rare combination of skills for that position. It seems like he could have that all put together, and he seems like a pretty decent playmaker, passer. So in theory, he has a lot of things going for him, but who knows if he gets it all put together on the NBA level. We have yet to see, but there's still some moves that could be made, a Brandon Ingram trade in particular, in order to get somebody more reliable or more that you feel better about as a starting center. For some reason, off the top of my head, I just thought of Stephen Adams for a split second and then realized, oh, wait, they had him before. He was on this team. So maybe they go back and get him. Who knows? I would kind of prefer somebody who could stretch the floor, but
like a cat.
Like a cat, yeah. Like a cat.
Or Naz Reid, he feels like, did That's he play for the Pelicans at one point?
He's only ever played for the Wolves.
It feels like he did. It just feels, that fit feels so good.
Yeah, and like, it does. Yeah.
It's probably not realistic now, but like at one point.
And basketball-wise, it's very.
Yeah,
it's,
but in terms of perfect. Like. The,
fiscally.
The atmosphere, it doesn't feel like it's probably likely.
Yeah, after they just trade off Cat, I doubt they would move Naz Reid. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's probably the reasons they were like, we probably can move off of this all-star caliber player. He has this crazy contract, and we have someone we're very comfortable playing right behind him.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, somebody like Naz Reid would be a very, very good type of player to try to get in there as the center spot for this team. But I do like the addition of DeJounte Murray for the most part. It's not like super great fit, but I think it can work for sure. There's definitely a avenue for it working. Jordan Hawkins is another guy that I think could take a big step this year as a shooter. Not as a shooter. Again, I'm saying that with guys that are, I just mean as a player, he's going to be taking a step. The type of player he is a really good shooter. That's what we know he can do. Also, I forgot to mention Jeremiah Robinson Earl as another potential guy who could play the five a little bit. He's more of a four for sure, but in theory, if you need somebody to play five, he's a guy. He's an option there. And then I think that they got Jose Alvarado back on a contract this offseason. A really good one too. Holy cow. He's on a minimum right now, but it kicks up to $4.5 million for next season, and then a player option of also $4.5 million the year after that, which I would definitely take for Jose Alvarado. To be honest, I'm surprised they were able to steal him on that one. And then Elfrid Payton is on this team. I don't know if you knew that, but he's back in the fold in New Orleans. I believe he's a Louisiana native also. I think he went to Louisiana Tech or something like that, a school down there. I believe.
I thought.
Didn't he?
Oh, yeah, just Louisiana Lafayette.
Oh, Louisiana. Okay. Yeah.
Louisiana is Louisiana Lafayette. It's weird.
Yeah.
Louisiana schools make no sense.
I said Louisiana State before.
Which is LSU, yeah.
Or no, you said Louisiana Tech. I said Tech, yeah. Yeah.
Nothing makes sense about how they name Louisiana schools to me.
Yeah. But, so yeah, I really like, I guess I'll reserve the really like, because I feel like I've said that about most teams. I'm fine with this team, the Pelicans. I'm not like head over heels for it or anything. But
I'm head over heels for Zion, but not the rest of them.
You're head over heels for Zion?
Skinny's, I feel like this is a menace. In the, again,
you,
I've talked
do you
about-
you still have your tattoo that says no, never time MVP, Zion Williamson?
No, I never you got still, it.
Oh, I was just checking on that.
No. Did I say I had like a back tattoo or something? It says.
No, you said you were going to get a tattoo and you were arguing. We have a clip. One of our earlier clips that we put on TikTok is of us arguing about Zion. And
yeah, I didn't think he'd lose 65 pounds. Sue me. Sorry.
Because I made the argument of looking at Joel Embiid's career. At that point, taking a screenshot of his first 4 years, it would probably look pretty similar to the amount of games that Zion has played. And I said, and Joel
we
end up winning
that whole
MVP.
Rabbit hole.
And you were like, Zion's not winning MVP. And I was like, says who? Or who's to say?
I
like,
still
me.
Say Zion's
say.
Not winning MVP. I'm still, sure, I'll still get the never time MVP Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that are way better than Zion.
It's probably a safe, pretty safe pick, but I think he could. There's no, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he won an MVP.
I would be.
It would surprise you?
Yeah. Because of how many things would have to go wrong above him.
Wrong?
Like how many other players would have to be like.
I don't think there would. If Zion has the best Zion season imaginable, you don't think that's an MVP caliber player?
I just don't think that that's like a super likely scenario.
Okay, then say it that way. instead of the people. You're saying other people have to be bad.
I think he'd need to have both. It's an MVP caliber, but I don't think it's an MVP winner.
I do. I guess that's where we disagree.
Yeah.
I think that, like, when I say MVP caliber, I mean, like, he...
The only reason I think he'd win an MVP is because of, like, voter fatigue.
Hmm.
Also, if Zion was an MVP before... I guess we're not talking about this year. That's another thing that my brain's like...
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying... I mean, it could be this year, I guess, but I wouldn't... I would say...
It could be a surefire should be Zion, and there'd be people like, Luka hasn't won one yet. Luka needs to win one first.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that could be a factor, I guess. But if Luka was injured all season, you know, something like that, I have no idea. Like, if Zion has a season where he plays 70-plus games and he, let's say he averages 30, 10, and... Why'd you make a face there?
No, that's just a giant number. Like, I know it's real, but it's just a giant number. Like, my brain... Yeah, that's a huge number.
How much would you think he would average if he won an MVP? I mean, I guess he could averaging like, 27.
When you say it out loud, 30 is just a big nut. Like, that's...
Yeah.
I know that it's like... But he would need to. Like, that's a need.
It would be close. It would need to be up there. But, like, I don't think that's crazy for him to do. I mean, with Brandon Ingram on his team, he's been averaging, like... He had, like, a 25-point-per-game season, I think. But with everything built around him averaging like 29, 9.5 rebounds and 6 assists, 5.8 assists, you know, something like that.
And then the Pelicans are like a 3 seed.
Or I didn't say 6 seed. I said 60 win. I was going to say 60 win.
Oh.
Team.
Well, that would be like a 1 seed probably.
Yeah, what I was saying.
Okay. I was like, I feel like they'd have to be better than all of the comparable team, like all the other MVP candidates that are comparable to him mm-hmm. would have to have, like, their team would have to have worse seasons as a mm-hmm. whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, never MVP. Anyway, the timer went off during that informative, like, hypothetical. Yeah. So I'm going to... I'm going to stick with what I said.
What did you say?
Did I say stay away? Or no, I already used my stay away.
I don't think you gave a pick. Yeah, I don't think either of us gave a pick. On 46.5, so getting to 47 wins is going to be tough. I think this is going to be my stay away, to be honest, is the Pelicans. But if I had to pick a direction...
Well, wait for that. I'm going to say this is really hard. I'm going to say that I'm going to lean over and hope they get rid of... They get, like, a center depth for Brandon Ingram, like a really good center.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to...
Mm-hmm. Or if Brandon Ingram buys in and is in playing again, honestly, yes, they could still be really...
That would also be very, very good.
So I think that it's not a bad, like, that's the direction I would go, honestly, if I didn't go stay away, would be the over. So definitely on the same page with you there. And on to the last team in this division, that is the San Antonio Spurs at 35.5 is their line. And they went 22-60 last season after having a line of 28.5. heading into the year because nobody knew how good Wemby was going to be. It was kind of like all over the place type of, you know, predictions. I think this year is pretty similar because I hear people sometimes say, oh, the Spurs are going to be winning. They're going to be like over 500 team. And other people are saying they're not going to get to 30 wins. You know, like it's all kind of all over the place. We have them at 22nd in the power rankings. Obviously, they added Chris Paul this offseason. Harrison Barnes is another pretty big add that they made. Stephen Castle is one of the guys they drafted. They got him at the 4th pick. They've also got Sandro Mamukelashvili is on this team. Brandon Boston Jr. is also on this team. David Duke, not the one of KKK fame, but the... You had no reaction to that at all. Did you even hear what I just said?
I heard KKK.
Yeah. I said David Duke is also on this team, not the one of KKK fame.
Oh, jeez.
But David Duke Jr. I believe he had a quote when he was drafted, something like he wants to make like the name David Duke, like people to think of him instead of, you know, the leader of the KKK. Which is
would be pretty, a lot. You'd have to be really good at basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. So, but he's on this team. Sidy Sissoko. Jalen McDaniels is on. I feel like, what in the world? Didn't we just look at a team the other, like last episode that had Jalen McDaniels? Did he move teams in the past like week?
He's a king. He's not on their roster. Like that roster is incorrect as of right now, I'm assuming.
It says he's on the team and he's has a trade restriction. He can't be traded until December 15th of 2025. This is on SpotTrack.
So then no, he is a Spur. When you like just open it up, it still says he is a King on ESPN. It says Jalen McDaniels, Sacramento Kings power forward, but then you click on it and it's a Spurs logo, so he is a Spur.
Okay, I would trust more what the... I think the... Because he was on the Kings... Because I definitely remember seeing him on a different roster. Let me switch this to the Kings really quick just to see if he's still on there. I don't see him anymore. So he... I don't know if he just got moved. Let me check his... the transaction
a day ago he got traded.
He did. It was a day ago. That's funny. Anyways, yeah. So
McDaniels and a second round pick to the Spurs for Shams reported the Spurs plan to waive McDaniels upon completion of the trade, and it points out that it gives Sacramento important roster flexibility with the start of the season just 10 days away.
So it was a salary dump.
Yes.
Okay, and so then did they waive him off of that contract and sign him to a new one?
I read all the information I have.
Yeah, yeah, you read what Shams said, but it looks like he's on the roster for and he has a trade restriction, meaning he just signed a new contract. You know, so it's interesting.
Yeah,
you see,
I don't have anything else.
Okay. I'm going to look at that really quick. Yeah, Jalen McDaniels, 4 point. Let's see when he signed this deal. No, this is the same contract he signed over there. Why does he have a... he has a reacquire restriction. This player can be traded back to Sacramento. Interesting. So he can be traded, but only to back to the Kings until December 15th.
But imagine the trade happened yesterday, whenever it officially goes through, like, at the they'll probably cut him, as Shams alluded to.
Yeah.
Or wave, sorry.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes sense. But anyways, now that we've got that squared away, the San Antonio Spurs, their line is 35.5. I do like Chris Paul, you know, being the mentor to a lot of the guards there in Sacramento or in San Antonio with Trey Jones and Stephon Castle. I think that he's going to make a big impact there. Even Devin Vassell, like, kind of showing him the ropes, being a pick and roll navigator, playing the two man game with Victor Wembanyama, and honestly being a mentor to Wemby himself on, you know, different ways he can create space for himself and, you know, run the pick and roll, get to the rim, all that kind of stuff. So, and honestly, the biggest thing for this season alone is going to be now there's a guy that can easily and like reliably get Victor the ball where yes. he needs it. Like, and that's going to be a pretty big difference maker.
Super overqualified if the job description is, please get the 7'5", whatever he is, giant unicorn, the ball, semi-efficiently. Chris Paul is super overqualified to do that.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I think that they will probably be decent, but I also don't think that it's going to, I don't know. So I think some people are, I wouldn't be surprised either way. Maybe this should be my stay away, honestly. But I just feel like the West is really, really good. They still are really, really good. And I don't think that I'm not sure if San Antonio is quite ready yet. I kind of would lean that they are not, that this year might be yet one more year where they're still kind of forming into what they eventually will become to start making a push for like a playoff spot, you know?
Yeah. It's just tough because of, it's just like a really weird world of NBA that we're like in. Because I feel like previously this team is like it's like a no duh over with how good this team is going to be. There's just so much good above them.
Yeah. And like as far as their whole roster goes, like I don't know if I would, there's just not like a lot beyond their main, you know, core rotation.
Yeah.
Outside of those guys, there's a lot of unproven players still. I believe I heard that this is the first team in NBA history with two Malachis on it.
Oh.
Which is interesting. That's Malachi Branham and Malachi Flynn. And then also, not only that, they're also the first team in NBA history to have two Harrisons, Harrison Barnes and Harrison Ingram. The other cool tidbit about that.
There's more.
Yeah, there is more. Those are the only two Harrisons in NBA history. Harrison Barnes and Harrison Ingram. And they're teammates. Yeah. That's where those fun facts end. But
that's crazy, though, that there's only ever been two Harrisons.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. And they are on the same team. The same time that two Malachis are on the same team. You know, we're living in a simulation. Things are, the universe is not random. That's what I'm trying to say. But yeah, anyways, I do like this team. And I think that it's going to be a team that definitely could get to 35.5. I would not be surprised at all. But I do feel like I'm going to lean the under because there's a lot of teams in the West that I feel like are going to be really good. And this one is still going to be down in the more like bottom group. But I think I'll probably say it'll be a slight under, but I'm still going to go with the under.
35 is really high. That's why I think I'm going to also agree with you that it is the under.
Okay. Yeah, that is fair. And so that means we have at the moment, I have under on the Mavericks of 50.5. You had over. I don't remember if you said you are going to, like, did you say you did switch it or are you?
I'm
going
to switch it to under.
Okay. So we're both under on the Mavericks of 50.5. The Rockets, 42.5. I'm over. You locked the over. 47.5 for the Grizzlies. I'm over. You're stay away. Pelicans, 46.5. I'm stay away. You are over. Spurs, 35.5. We are both under. And then I guess looking at, just because we need to get these episodes out before the season starts, any other things we want to change, we can do that quickly now. Starting up in the Atlantic Division, we've got the Celtics, 58.5. I'm under, you're over.
Locking over. I'm going to move my lock.
Okay, you're going to lock the over. Also, do you want to pull up the Vegas? Do you have that right now? Or if you don't, then I can just use
I do.
Okay, you do.
58.5 is the Celtics.
Okay. As we're going through this, we can look at what the updated line is. Brooklyn Nets, the line that we originally used was 21.5. You it's
18.5 now.
18.5. Holy cow.
I think I stay under, but I obviously my lock is moved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I might. So I might stay under as well. Actually, no, I'm gonna put my stay away. 19 wins for the Nets seems like a lot. I'm going to put my under there. Yeah, I think I'm going to stay under. What does the Knicks line move to? It was 52.5. I'm stay away currently on it, and you are an over.
53.5.
53.5. I do feel like the Knicks are going to be pretty good. 54 wins, though, is going to be probably tough. Seeing as the Sixers are here. But I think I'm going to go an over on the Knicks of 53.5. And then the Sixers, has their line moved from 52.5?
50.5 on FanDuel.
50.5? Why did it drop so low? They didn't even have anything happen, did they?
Paul George, like, looked like he got something tweaked, but I don't think it was actually hurt. I don't know.
Oh, maybe it was just the cat trade to their own division, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know.
But it's weird that it would affect their line more than it affected the Knicks.
Yeah. The other sports books have not moved, but FanDuel did, so.
Oh, okay. I had the under on them for 52.5. Now this might be my stay away, which is what you had your stay away on. Were you still over on the Knicks for 53.5? Okay. Your stay away on the Sixers then. Raptors 30.5. You are under. I'm over.
And that is now 29.5.
29.5. So yeah, I'll definitely stick with the over. I might put my lock on that one. I don't feel great about that. I'm going to go with it. Our friends over at 2-for-1 are both super high on the Raptors this season. So I'm just going to trust them, honestly. That's what I'm going to dedicate this pick to. I'm going to lock the over on the Toronto Raptors. On to the Central Division, Chicago Bulls, 30.5 is what their line was once upon a time.
28.5.
28? Holy cow. Okay. I had over, you had under.
I'm going to stay under.
That is fair. To stay on the under. I think I might leave it at the over for now. Because now they only need 29 as opposed to 31. Cleveland Cavaliers, 47.5 was their line. I was over, you were stay away.
It is now 48.5.
I think I'm going to remain steadfast on that one.
Same.
Detroit Pistons, 22.5. Was their line. I was a stay away. You were a lock under.
Shockingly, he's moved up to 25.5.
25.5?
Why? I feel great about my under lock now.
Yeah, holy cow. What is going on? Who is believing in Detroit?
The FanDuel
Me
folks.
Me from last year? Got teleported into this
yeah,
year?
Yeah, FanDuel folks. Jeez Louise.
What are the other lines or the other books? Or
is everyone is 25.5.
Oh, so everybody's doing it. Interesting. I think I'm going to definitely... I might join you on the under lock there. Let's see. My lock right now is on the Bucks, which was 51.5.
That is now 50.5.
Yeah, so I'm going to move off of that lock. I'm going to just move that to a regular under, I think. And then I'm going to go lock the under on the Pistons with you. Pacers, 46.5 was their line. We were both over.
47.5 now.
47.
I think I stay with my over.
Yeah, I think I probably do as well. And I think I'm going to put my stay away on the Bulls, honestly, now. Even though, yeah.
What was my stay away?
The Cavs, 48.5.
I'm going to go under and stay away on the Bucks.
Under, stay away on the Bucks. You had the under on the Bucks also, just so you know. And I had the under as well. Well, I'd had it locked just a second ago. Now it's not. But 50.5 is their new line. The Hawks is the next team. 35.5 was their line. I was under. You locked the under.
36.5 now. So no changes for me.
Yeah, same here. Unless the Wizard line is moved, I'm jumping down quite a bit, but that is where my
20.5.
20.5? Dang, their line was 22.5. I had it locked. 20.5. That's going to be... I feel like they might be worse this year than they were last year.
Oh, I think they kind of definitively are worse.
Oh, why is that? Just because they traded off Denny?
Off Denny, and then also, like, I feel like Alex Sarr... Not the play, maybe.
Not
I don't
the
know.
Play.
Not the move when you had the chance to get like a lot of other guys that I feel a lot better about.
You don't think Alex Sarr should have gone too? Wasn't he like?
I don't love it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like
I don't
head
love
over heels
picking
with...
anybody in this draft. It just sucks that like.
Yeah, other than
have
Reed
the
Shepherd.
Second or first overall pick in this draft.
Yeah. No, for sure. But I don't think he makes them worse.
No. but everything else does. Everyone else has gotten better without a question.
Yeah, that is the
that key by proxy thing there. Makes them worse.
Yeah, no, for sure. So yeah, I think I'll leave my lock there. I guess I don't feel great about it, but because the Hawks line is a really fun one to try to. I think it would be a good under lock, but you've already got that. I don't want to keep doing the same thing because our locks are pretty similar. Honestly,
really?
We've used locks on the same one, the same direction multiple times. I guess I shouldn't skip past all these teams I jumped down from. The Hornets, their line was 27.5. I had over, you went under.
It's 30.5 now.
30? Jeez.
I'm going to stick with my under.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to keep it on an over. I might go stay away on that or under. The Heat line was 44.5. Has that moved at all?
43.5.
Okay, I feel better about an over on that than maybe. How about the Magic? 47.5.
47.5. That has not moved.
Okay, and we were both over on that one.
What was I on the Heat?
We were both stay away on the Heat.
Okay.
I'm going to go over on the Heat now and move my stay away to the Hornets.
Okay. That's a free under, brother man.
I like the Hornets. I like them
for
on the
21 games.
I think they could. I do feel like it's high. So yeah, I'll go under on that, and then I'll move my stay away to. Jeez Louise, this is a hard thing to do while recording. You know, got to keep filling space and think, contemplate hard. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Wizards, I'm just gonna move that to a stay away, so I'm not doing the same exact thing as you. So you're an under on there, and maybe I'll go under. No, I take that back. I'm gonna go stay away on the Hornets. Keep my under on the Wizards. I'll move my under lock though to the Hawks.
Okay.
Even though that's our fourth lock that is the same now. four of our six locks are the same ones.
Well, what are all the locks that we have the same?
Hawks under, Pistons under, Nuggets over, Suns over, and yeah, that. What did we just do in the Southwest? I don't remember. I don't have us written down on a lock on here. Let me go back to my other sheet. Maybe I did it on there. You locked the Rockets. I didn't use a lock in the Southwest. I didn't even notice that. But yeah, you locked the Rockets on the over. I'm gonna lock the Mavericks under. Who cares? I'm a hater.
What do I have for Port? So I'll move my Nuggets over to locking the Portland under.
Okay, that's fair.
And then, what did I do in the Southwest?
You locked the over on the Rockets.
Pacific.
Locked over on the Suns. Both of us did. 46.5. Has that line moved?
It's 47 now.
Wow. Vegas just likes to make our lives harder.
I'm going
to
lock the under on the Warriors.
All right. I like it.
And then what else do we have the same?
I might... Wait, has the Warriors line moved from 43.5?
Nope, it's still 43.5.
Okay. I'm thinking... that'd be hard, but I do feel like the Warriors could get there. I'm going over, but I don't know if I'm going to move my... I was thinking about move my lock to do the opposite of you.
Yeah.
You
know? Like a big-time swing.
Yeah. Because I that's a candidate for that now that the Suns line has moved up a win. How about the Kings? 45.5. What is their line now?
44.5.
Okay. That doesn't make... Because I was under on them, so I don't feel as good about that anymore. The Lakers, 42.5.
42.5 still, yep.
And the Clippers, 37.5.
Still the same.
Okay. I was under on that. You were stay away.
We don't have very many similars now.
We have two now. Like overall locks, which is fine.
For what?
Hawks and Pistons. We just got them to be the same.
So the Hawks.
Mm-hmm. 36.5. And I think... So I'm going to stay on the Suns over lock. I'm going to stay on the Kings under not a lock. And then the Southeast getting back up there, Miami 43.5. I'm going over. You're going to stay away.
I'm
going
to lock the under on Miami and take it off the Hawks.
Okay. And what are you moving the Hawks to? Just under?
Yeah, just regular under. And then.
So now you don't have a stay away.
My stay away will be the Magic, I guess.
Hmm.
And then the final remaining bastion is the Central Division.
We've already done the Central.
No, the one that we have the same?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't
yeah.
it the...
Uh-huh. What did you say, bastion? What does that mean?
The final bastion, like, it's the final hold of us having the same locks.
That's the definition of bastion.
Bastion is like a like an encampment, like a...
Oh.
Like a final, a last resort. Like a last stronghold.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's the last one that we are both locked on, which we don't need to change. That's fine. If there's only one of them.
Well, there's some of them that I was just kind of like, whatever about, so I can like...
Pistons under, though, it seems like a really good...
I was pretty confident, I think, that one really quick.
Yeah, 25.5 now. Yeah, that I don't know. It's weird because I was pretty optimistic about the Pistons last year. I went over on an even higher line. Locked the over on 28.5 last year.
What's my stay away on?
In the Central, you have stay away on the Cavs, 48.5.
What's my Bulls pick?
Under.
I don't know.
I think I might move. I'm going to move off the Pistons under lock. I'm going to go to a stay away there. And I'm going to lock the under on the Bulls. Even though I was just over on the
That's what I thought about doing.
Yeah.
That's what I was like thinking about just as but I'm happy with keeping the Pistons under.
Yeah.
As a lock.
No, that's fair. That's fair for sure. But that will be it there, and then I think we've got everything else figured out. I want to say Northwest we haven't revisited at all yet. The Nuggets, or we did a little bit actually, but we didn't revisit the lines. Nuggets line 50.5. Is that still the same?
Yeah.
Then the Wolves, 51.5.
Yep.
And I locked the over on the Nuggets. You're just normal over. I am a stay away on the Wolves. You are an over. The Thunder, 55.5. We are both overs as of now.
Oh, it's 57.5 now.
On FanDuel, 57.5? Holy cow. Why?
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
Why? What's my stay away at?
The Jazz, 27.5.
I might move my stay away to the Thunder. I'm a believer, but 57.5 is a huge line.
Yeah. No, for real. 57.5 games.
The Jazz, 27.5, you said?
Yeah.
That hasn't moved, and I think I'm going to go with an under.
Okay. Under there. The Blazers, 20.5. Has that moved?
No.
Okay, and I'm under, you're locking that under. I feel really good about the lock on the over for the Nuggets, honestly, at 50.5. So I'm going to keep that there.
I did it more out of a, like, we can swap things up. I'm also a believer in the Nuggets to get that over, but yeah.
In the Wolves line, did you confirm?
It was the same.
It's the same? And I think, I think I'm going to go under on the Wolves, and I'm going to go stay away on the Jazz. That's going to be what I do. And that is it, I think. For those watching on video, you'll have that up on screen. It's probably much easier
to visualize and see.
Like, comprehend all this. Audio listeners, I'm surprised if you're still listening at this point, honestly. But thank you.
It'll get cut up and be a lot more flowy.
Hopefully. That probably will take a decent amount more time, but we'll see how polished I make it. This one, though, is one for the books, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
We are good to get on out of here. My throat is itchy.
Then I got this. Step aside, brother man.
Okay.
We want to say thank you for all tuning in to this edition of the Hoop Theory Podcast. If you have not done so already, please head on over to patreon.com and just see what we have as options for you as you'll be supporting the podcast and maybe letting us do, I don't know, maybe more content in the future. That sounds like more is usually better. Also, buy me a coffee, also under Hoop Theory is the way to go for that. Please send us mail at the mailbag at hooptheory.mailbag@gmail.com. Also, if you are watching us on YouTube, thanks for looking at me. And hit the subscribe button because it really helps us out and costs you absolutely nothing. Also, like, subscribe, leave a comment, even if it is something mean about me, but not about Logan. He doesn't deserve that kind of hate on the internet. Once we get to 1,000 YouTube subscribers, we will be doing a jersey giveaway, similar to the one that we did for TikTok when we got to 5,000. So mosey on over there. With all that being said, I don't have anything else to add, I don't believe. If you do, Logan, speak it now.
Yeah. Stay happy, stay healthy. We will talk to you guys next episode.
Peace.